Amma Devi in Hawaii levitated 30 feet in the air by herself.
Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Got another great show today dealing with metaphysics and spirituality. This is volume two, I guess, or show number two of last week's show. We were dealing with how life really began and its the implications of what the plan of our planet is. Some for those of you more inclined towards the, we'll call it the real esoteric stuff, it also deals with some of the very basics about rays and ray energies. Now, for those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, that's okay, because most of the show really won't be about that. But I think it's important that I at least let some of you know who have some idea about that, what we're going to go over that might be a little more esoteric. Now, last week, I'm going to give you a kind of very, very short summation of what we went into last week, and then continue on to talk about how our planet really evolved and developed. And I'm using the word evolved because evolution is part of it, but so is spiritual principles and intelligent design, yes, not necessarily as it's implied by the most religious of people, but it is the concept that behind evolution is a thoughtful creator. And the creator uses science. It would be completely dumb for the creator to create science and not use science as a principle in its creations. So we shouldn't assume that science is some like boogeyman and terrible and everything that they say and do is wrong, although I have to say they do have a tendency about every 10 to 20 years to reinvent their theories. They've become as good spin doctors in some cases as the politicians have. So we have to be a little bit leery of some scientists because they have a tendency to make sure that they have corrected all of their mistakes by never having to admit to them. That is not the correct way to do it. Of course, humility is the way to do it. But humility and science do not necessarily go together in all quarters. There are some scientists that are amazingly humble. My hat's off to them. Okay, so let me go over last week's show, and I'm going to do this a little bit fast, and if you want to call in, ask me any questions, or just say, hey, slow down, you can do that, 877-876-5227 in the U.S., and if you're listening from Canada, 888-815-9756. Yeah, and if you call in, they'll plug you right into here, and we'll be able to chat together. Okay, so let me go on with my summation from last week, which may or may not interest you. I hope it will, because today's show is really going to continue on from it. Last week, I was talking about how our planet began somewhere around 4.5 to 4.6 billion years ago to try to develop life in a certain way. Now, the certain way has to do with this thing called energies and the way energies function. There are seven different ways. They're just numbered from one to seven. Each one has a very different way of expressing itself as like the third part of the creator's mind. And it's very interesting because it all has to do with activity. How do you create activity or action in our universe, which is a physical quote-unquote universe, but it actually has seven different major dimensions to it, and we live in the basement where there is really dense energy, which we call physical. Interestingly, the other dimensions are not so dense, and there's no matter in them. There's energy, but there's no actual matter. Matter, again, is energy that is less active than it is inactive. So it's more solid, we'll call it, whereas energy that is more active than it is inactive is something other than matter. Ooh. Okay, I like definitions. You all know that who have been listening. Okay, so last week we were talking about that in the beginning, this the very first of the creative focuses, which is sometimes referred to as a round, for our planet to start to develop life was done through what is called the first ray Yeah, the first ray is the creator. It's also a destroyer. So life started through great destruction, boom, bang. And it also started through creation. But the creation took many different forms of creation and then destruction, creation and then destruction. Almost all the life forms that were created were single cells, like little miniature microscopic types of life forms, most of them classified as bacteria, and in some cases, types of algae. Yes. And this was life for billions of years on our planet. This is the way life was being, we'll say, developed. Now, it was being developed also to become very adaptive and creative. And there actually were seven steps. I didn't mention this last week, not least in total. There were seven sub-steps in the development of this first type of life. And those seven steps went from the seventh type of energy all the way to the first. Isn't that odd? So the rounds go from one to seven, but the sub-parts of the rounds, where energy is broken down into smaller elements, goes through from seven to one. And the seven to one affects the way an organism develops itself in terms of sense and what kind of chakras it has and all kinds of other stuff. So it's very interesting how this whole pattern is established. This is how life becomes adaptable and specifically doesn't become redundant. And when great catastrophes happen, which are actually planned events, I know they keep saying random this, random that, all this stuff is planned out. These planned events of great catastrophes, some of them nearly destroying all life on our world, has really been there so that life can make a shift, a change, a new direction after it has learned to adapt in many different other ways. And this is the way in the past life was created. Now, I am not saying that that's how it works today. I want you to understand this. This is in the past, and particularly before human beings became present, because we changed the whole thing. Yeah, we did. But we'll get to that today, I hope. Otherwise, we'll have to have volume three. Okay, so life continued to develop in on Earth, and it went through a second round of development in which, instead of being the focus of life to develop creation itself and to develop itself into something that can sustain itself under many different types of stressful issues, the new life had to learn how to develop itself in combination with other life different from itself, and to be able to work together with this life at times, sometimes in a competitive mode. And this was considered called the second round, and it developed the beginnings of consciousness, where life could recognize the difference between itself and other life. And the only way that could happen is by there being other life for it to recognize. So you can see how that comes together. And that second round actually began sometime around 600 million years ago or so, give or take, say, 25 to 50 million years. And during that time, there was a great diversity in life, whereas before that, believe it or not, there was not much difference in life, because in the first round, even though it lasted billions of years, most life was really only a few different kinds. It didn't have the vast differences that life developed during this second round, which is wonderful, isn't it? Eventually, we had all kinds of differences in life, including the difference between what we call today plant and animal life. You could call algae plant and bacteria kind of animal, but those are so, there's differences between them is not as great as what I'm talking about during the second round, where you really had life that could move, that was truly animated in its own way, and that's the big difference. Animals means, you know, it's animated. It could make a choice and go in that direction with its choice by moving its body around. You see, it's very important for us to understand that, because that really denoted that now there was differences in the way that life could express itself. The other thing that was interesting about this time, say 500 million years ago, was that life was starting to develop itself in terms of being able to choose a lot of other factors in its life and make those choices present because there was more oxygen around. Now, last week I mentioned that oxygen, which is a third ray type of energy, meaning that it is, it's like the expression of the third part of our Creator. That type of energy is the type of energy that creates most of the energy in the life forms that are on Earth. Now, not all of them use oxygen. Don't get me wrong about that. But a lot of them do. And the more oxygen that became available, and of course, the plan was to produce more oxygen on Earth through life changing the planet to do this, allowed many more life forms to be able to move with great speed and with their own thinking or thought directing them to do whatever they might want to do and using greater levels of sense at the same time. Also, it allowed life eventually, sometime around 400 million years ago or so, to start trying to leave the oceans. You see, while life was in the oceans, it took like a third or less energy to move because you're buoyant. Most of the effects of gravity, are being negated by the fact that you're in the water. The only thing is when you're in the water, you can't really do as many interesting things as you can while you're out of the water. So life started going out of the water, and it opened up a whole new vista of opportunities and the ability to be more intelligent in its actions and faster, much faster in its actions in some cases. And this allowed a whole new range of kinds of life forms to be developed. Isn't it interesting? Just because there was so much more oxygen available, and especially to be used by animals and plants on Earth, on Earth. And that allowed many new types of life forms to be developed that had greater levels of intelligence. Very important to understand. Does that mean there wasn't any intelligence in life forms in the oceans? There was some, and as a matter of fact, some of them continued to develop. But greater levels were increased by coming out onto air and onto the land. And the interesting thing about this is it permitted the Creator to move ahead towards the development of the third round, which is very important because at that point, then intelligence itself became a critical part of the equation rather than just some basic elements of consciousness. So instead of an animal knowing the difference between itself and animals that are like itself, that aren't like itself, etc., more complex patterns of behavior could be created within animals. And the plants themselves also developed a more complex relationship with animals. So all of this took place because there was abundance of oxygen, which allowed the animals and plants to overcome the unfortunate pressures of gravity, because we live in a very dense world. Unfortunately, it takes all this effort and all this time to overcome the effects of living at the basement, the dense physical part of the universe that we live in, which is where we are, and on a dense physical planet, living in the basement where gravity rules more than we do most of the time. And so, interestingly, life is so greatly affected by this that it takes just billions of years to create the kind of life that we're going to get to today, which we'll be talking about the more advanced kinds of animals that went beyond the dinosaurs. Dinosaurs were the type of life that used intelligent activity as the dominant issue in their development, but guess what? They did not move into a second form of development of consciousness. They were really, interestingly, able to integrate their senses probably as good or better than just about any living creature before or after them. But the difference is that they weren't able to expand whatever they learned into becoming creative with it beyond the necessities of staying alive and procreating and very basic things. That's the difference between intelligence, as we might call it, and consciousness. Consciousness is the ability to take one's intelligence and to expand on it, to apply it to many new things and become closer to a individual creator. Dinosaurs weren't there. But they certainly developed incredible abilities to be intelligent and to use their intelligence in ways that goes way beyond their brain size. Last week I mentioned that it's a fallacy that brain size in relationship to the size of the animal is a judgment of intelligence. It may be a judgment of consciousness, which is a different issue, but it is wrong for us to assume the other. And there's much recently, last couple of years, they've been proving that whole theory to be wrong, by the way. There's been a lot of issues. They found some people that live with brains a third the size of ours who seem to be doing a lot of things that were awfully intelligent, a lot more so than those people or those animals that had similar brain sizes, just like, say, even chimpanzees. They are a lot smarter than chimpanzees, but their brains weren't much bigger. So that tells us there's something wrong with that whole theory, because we have such vivid and we'll say, obvious exceptions now to that. In the meantime, we're going to come back in about 2.5 minutes, and I'm going to start off now. I did with my summation. I'm going to start off telling you more about what happened after dinosaurs and into the next round, which is called the fourth round, and that's the one we're still in. I think this one's going to be really interesting because now I'm going to bring you up to speed and we're eventually going to get to us and find out what us humans, are really here for. Hopefully you're going to find that interesting. Some of you have found it interesting about finding out about life before humans, but now we're going to also today get to the rest of us, the humans. So we'll be back in about 2 minutes in 30.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
The following statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. ViroPel is a dietary supplement. It is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Colds and flu are a problem that many want answers and alternatives for. Let me tell you about ViroPel, a certified all-organic herbal and nutraceutical formula designed to support relief from symptoms of cold and flu. With so much concern about potential bird flu outbreaks, there may be some help. ViroPel's patents include proven immune enhancement, adding significant preventative and other immune system benefits. In effectiveness trials, most experienced relief from symptoms in 2 to 3 days. Think about how long your last flu symptoms lasted. Incredible and amazing are the words most often used to describe the effects of ViroPel. Using 136 of the highest grade ingredients in a new science gives ViroPel its effectiveness. Relief could be just 1 to 3 days away. To learn more or to purchase ViroPel, call Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. That's 800-777-7850. Or visit ViroPel, that's ViroPel.org.
We are back, and this is Why Life Is. I'm your host, Niles McFlower. I hope I didn't spin you around with all that speed at trying to summarize last week's show. I do it quickly because I figured some of you have heard last week's show. And if you haven't, you know what? You can go to the archives of either this radio station or we have them at agelesswisdom.com after a couple weeks, too. So in either case, you can come and listen if you've missed the show. and I thought a quick rendition was okay. So I will try to slow down a little bit for the second and third segment because I realize this is a lot to digest, a lot of information, and also I want you to think about it if you can. So that would be better. So I'll try to slow it down just a bit. All right, so back to what happens in the fourth round. Well, the fourth round is that started, not surprising, about 65 million years ago. Each one of these rounds of development of life, which has to do with developing extra centers in each life form, some of you call those chakras, yes, and we're developing extra centers or chakras. More centers than chakras means more dominant senses with consciousness associated to them. Sometimes animals can have a whole bunch of centers or chakras, but they have no consciousness associated with them. So the information that comes through that chakra cannot be used creatively, and that means that they are really stuck by what we would call instincts, and they can't be they can't do much with it other than to stay alive. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, except that it's always better to be able to be creative, and that's what the design of life is to get closer and closer to joining us, joining life with its creator. It just takes a long time for life to do this in this kind of a world and in this part of the universe. Okay, so 65 million years ago, give or take a little bit, maybe 64 million if you're going to be exactly accurate because it takes some time to eventually redevelop life. The type of life that was left on the planet was mostly mammalian mammals and birds. There were still some insects and some prior types of life forms. So, there were sometimes the reptiles. But the dinosaurs, they were gone. Yeah. And so were their counterparts in the oceans and in the air. You don't find any pterosaurs flying around 60 million years ago as an example. And so these other life forms took over. And what's the difference? What is the difference? Well, the focus dealing with the next ray in focus in a round, which is the fourth ray, which we're still in this round now, I want you to know this, is the development of consciousness, but consciousness different than it was in the second round of development. In the second round, you only had a maximum of two senses that were really focused on in development by external sources from outside of our world. Yeah, it actually comes from other places. This is the thought of our creator coming through. It's very complicated. If you want to know more about that, you really can go to a book I wrote called Hidden Meaning, and right there it'll explain it to you. And there's many other good books on this on the subject, although I think the Life and Meaning has it kind of put together more defined. Okay, so as we developed consciousness in life, we're doing it through four chakras or centers that had some level of consciousness associated with them all at the same time. And this changes. It changes as the round develops. Again, it starts more with the actually the lower chakras first, and it works its way through the different chakras. Each time there's a change. There's a change because it was designed to be changed thousands, if not sometimes millions of years beforehand. So it's not something that could just easily be changed because this is all like a design, you might say. And in the process, mammals became extremely developed in their consciousness. They did not necessarily, and I want you to understand this, develop vast amounts of greater intelligence than some of the dinosaurs had. But they had much improved consciousness, meaning that they were more loving, more inclusive, more able to use the intelligence that they had to be creative. And this is a very important part of the development of life. Now, mammals were the key towards the development of life from about 64 million years ago until about 16 million years ago. So that was really the focus of time for the development of mammals. And during that time, they really achieved some pretty remarkable results. That doesn't mean they stopped developing 16 million years ago. I don't want you to think that. But really, this was an important element that they were becoming much closer to being able to independently create themselves at times, some of the more advanced ones. This is a wonderful thing. Now, what about human beings? Now, I know a lot of you have read books, and if you haven't been keeping up in the very recent times, most of the books were saying that Australopithecus it was the maybe one of the earliest hominids of humanity, but not a human being. And this is a little creature, maybe 3.5 feet tall, sort of had a mixture between an ape and a human, but it stood upright and could walk around, not particularly exceptional in its consciousness. And a lot of people say, well, okay, isn't that where we came from? And the answer is, nope, did not. And then recently, they just recently, in the last year, found a creature that they've named Tombi Africanus, I think. Afarensis, that's it. And this creature, which is twice as old as the Australopithecus, is a hominid, and it, lo and behold, it was walking upright. And it seems as though it may have been as or more intelligent, this is a big question, as its later, the later version of hominid. That doesn't make any sense, because according to evolution, that shouldn't have happened, by the way. And so nobody's talking about it. It's like they sweep it under the rug. And there are many hominids after Australopithecus, many, like dozens, different types. And, you know, the amazing thing is they developed to a certain level, appears fairly quickly, and then they didn't develop much at all after that. Homo erectus. It was around for a couple million years. Developed a few different kinds of stone tools. Did various kinds of activities. Wait, do you think they were intelligent or not? This is supposedly the most advanced hominid they can think of. It may not be a hominid because they call it Homo. And whatever it is, okay, but the problem is in 2 million years, it never made more than 6 different kinds of stone tools. 2 million years? And it's still considered in the Homo class? Does that make any sense? If evolution really is doing what it's supposed to be doing, then how come these guys didn't evolve much further? I could give you an answer, but it's going to surprise some of you unless you've read some of the stuff I've written before. You've heard my other shows on other stations. Okay, what happened? Well, a lot of these hominids that we call them, and even some of the homos that we call them, the homo class, are beings that came from earlier humans. They de-evolved. Oh, you're going to say, oh, this guy's nuts. Do you evolve from who? From what? Well, I'm going to tell you. Especially, let's go back to Afarensis. It was around about 7 million years ago, maybe even up to 8 million years ago. Where did it come from? They still can't figure that out. Okay, where did it come from? It was in Western Africa. Does make much sense. Where did it come from? Well, there was a place called Lemuria, where there were humans that were more developed than this hominid, we call it. And some of the sub-groups, the sub-race type of beings of Lemurians, literally degenerated. They left their island continent and they degenerated in Africa because that was a safe and relatively easy place for them to live. And originally when they left, they were quite capable of actually sailing across seas and doing many other things. But eventually, because they were degenerating, and the reason they degenerated is because the rays changed that developed the centers in their bodies, and the new ones that were being focused on Earth weren't the ones that they, as a group, could grow from very easily. Their time was up. But this happens regularly. And so these particular hominids that were 7 million years ago, actually, I believe, came from Lemurians. Some of the later ones actually came from people who were earlier races on a continent called Atlantis. That's millions of years ago to hundreds of thousands and even tens of thousands of years ago, depending upon what group you're talking about. Oh, what about the Neanderthals? I love them. They're really explain this whole thing, I think, better than anybody else. They've been around since 350,000 years ago, right? Most of you know that. Yeah, that's true. That's the earliest I can kind of date them to. But what is there amazing about them? Well, they had brains that bigger than us. Okay. Well, were they as smart as us? I mean, what is that? No, because they were degenerated. They were degenerated from the sixth sub-race. I know that's a big word, sixth sub-race of Atlanteans. Yeah, that's hard to believe. There was a thing called Heisenberg Man that goes all the way back like 500,000 years ago. Right, that was before the Neanderthals. And they're the same thing. They came from the fifth sub-race. But it doesn't really matter. I think the important point I'm trying to get at is, and we're going to, I still believe there will be, within the next couple dozen years, they'll figure this out maybe through genes. But the problem is that they degenerate too fast. And when you go back that far, it's hard to really get the correct gene pool to see that these people were not us, but they came from someplace other than us, and they still were human beings. This is important stuff. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of evidence to support what I'm saying. I want you to be reading books and looking in other places. I can't go through all the evidence on the air, but it's very important to understand that life not only evolves, it de-evolves. It can go in the other direction. And that's happened with numerous times with various earlier parts of humanity. So humanity was really developing from about 16 or so million years ago. Now, this is going to sound really strange, but humanity did, oddly, kind of, sort of, evolve from a earlier type of animal, but it not the way that you would normally expect it to be. Just the physical nature or body of the animal was used, and actually a human soul, different from an animal soul, was connected to that particular, we'll call it prototype, physical animal type being. And in the beginning, as early as maybe 21 or 22 million years ago, this experiment was attempted, and those animals just died out. Couldn't survive, because with a human soul, you get only a kind of loose connection to the soul, and the soul does not do most of the thinking for the human. We know that ourselves, because we're human, and no one's thinking for us most of the time. What's happening is, unlike with animals, which have a self-structure connected directly to the soul, and that self-structure gives the animal instincts, we call it instincts, preconceived knowledge. We don't get that. We have to conceive the knowledge ourselves. Now, if you take an animal form with an animal-like brain, and you try to connect it to a human soul, and now the animal brain has to think for itself, in the beginning, it doesn't always work. And it didn't. And it was tried again, so to speak. Human souls tried to connect with even more advanced animal forms about 18 million years ago or so, give or take. But it still failed. And about 16.5 million years ago, it started to succeed because the brains had developed more. There was a little bit better connection between the human soul and its counterpart here in the physical world. These really were the first humans. They really were. And they were able to then, of course, copulate and create more humans that were closer and closer to the soul. Because humans have something uniquely different from all other lower life forms, all animals, period. Or plants, if you want to include them too. We have two extra centers that have consciousness. No animals have more than five centers with consciousness. You're familiar with them, the five senses, right? We have two more centers and senses. They're our heart chakra and our crown chakra. The heart chakra gives us a sense of understanding that we have a creator. We call it God, some of us do, or whatever. And the other chakra tells us how to create or co-create more with our creator. how to be virtuous, how to do something that is beyond who we are. It's amazing. Those two centers are active and conscious in human beings, and that those parts are connected to our souls. So that's the part that helps us to think when we use those centers together or even individually. And we'll come back to that and how and why that works so fantastic in the next segment. But I think it's important to start realizing that this life is amazing, because the thing about this is that it's not just growing more intelligent. I know a lot of people think that. It's growing like in many different ways that is getting much closer to our Creator. And human beings are a critical part of this equation, because without those two extra senses that are conscious and that are connected to our souls and all the whole thing, we wouldn't be us. We'd be like animals, and the planet and all life on it would end over time. And I'll explain why when we come back again in about 2.5, closer to maybe 3 minutes, whatever it's going to be. And I'll explain the whole thing, I hope, to you so you can understand what the plan of our planet really is about. Okay, we'll be back.
What book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hon, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. MacFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Let me tell you about most supplements that help support joint health, movement, and ease. They usually contain a few helpful substances that work on some people moderately well. For many others, these levels of help are either not enough or are not helpful at all. But there is a product that contains 36 different high-potency and very effective ingredients that support overall joint health, movement, and ease when moving. It's Freedom of Movement by Alternative Health Approaches, and it works in many different ways. This formula is critically balanced to synergistically and dramatically improve joint movement through supportive health, and usually within several hours. The relief generally lasts for an entire day and over time can be permanent. Freedom of Movement comes with a money-back guarantee. Even shipping is refunded for the first bottle. This unique formulation has helped thousands to maintain joint health. The price is $24.95 for a 90-caplet bottle. It's available from Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. Give this powerful all-natural supplement a try if you haven't found relief from other sources. That's Freedom of Movement. Call 800-777-7850.
Well, we're back. This is Why Life Is, and I'm Niles McFlower. I know I keep trying to squeeze in all I can in this time in this slot, but we're going to keep going. All right, so where do we stop? We stopped with the idea that human beings are unique and very special. You've heard me say this a number of times on this show and other shows before. I mean, on this particular station and other stations. And the important thing to realize here is that this is not like some random event. Come on. Can you really buy that? That we went through all these almost exterminations of life, if you've been watching any of the science channels or any of that stuff on cable, all this other stuff, and yet we end up with human beings who are suddenly able to discover their own creator, but no other life can. Do you want to believe that that's the way things have just happened? No. I don't want to believe it, and I don't believe it because the odds are fantastically against it, especially if you believe in evolution. It's fantastically against that outcome. Fantastically. There's way too many curves and changes and things to bring us to where we are and where we're going. And that's what I want to talk about here. Okay, human beings continued to develop, but not like we think. Almost all of the really important changes that have taken place in human beings have taken place in the last, say, 50 to 75,000 years. You might say, well, why? What if there were Atlanteans, Lemurians? Yeah, all of those beings, they're human beings, did play a major role. But unfortunately, although they were developing over time greater and greater senses and greater levels of intelligence and consciousness, they had not really gotten to the point where they were thinking in a purely, we'll call it, or strongly, not purely, but strongly, mental way. Not that mental thought is the highest, it's not even close, but this is important for human beings, in a mental way. And mental thought allows us to get closer to our souls that reside in a certain part of that dimension of time and space. Mental thought takes place in another dimension of time and space entirely, two whole dimensions above where we are. We're in the etheric physical, and mental thought is beyond the astral, which is where we go when we die from this dimension, into the monastic, and that dimension itself is kind of split in two, and the lower part is where we learn how to become our souls again so we can rejoin our souls. Yeah, we're going back to that. That's what death is. It's a journey back home. And the soul itself is functioning in the higher mental part where it is completely aware of and conscious of its creator and conscious of the plans of its creator for itself and its co-creation, which is us. Yeah, human beings are really a co-creative part of the soul to help to develop more of the creator in realms lower than where the soul itself can live, because taking on bodies and senses and all the stuff we've got to do causes us to become illusions. You've heard me talk about this in prior shows, and that reduces our ability to become effective and useful. But we have to do it. Someone's got to do it, and we're doing it. But when we go back to becoming ourselves, our consciousness just rejoins with our soul. It isn't, you never die. You just like you keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger in consciousness until finally you literally wake up and say, hey, I'm my soul. I've been up here, and you can remember everything the soul has been doing in its own dimension while you were doing all these goofy things, some of them anyway, in these lower dimensions, time and space, having these bodies and senses that eventually wear out, of course. Now, the interesting thing about this is, what is this plan? What is it all about? Because I find that to be the most interesting, the most fascinating part of what this subject is about. The plan for our planet. Okay, Earth is along the third rate. The whole thing is about how do you use this kind of energy to create life. It's the most difficult way to create life that eventually becomes like its creator. Why is that? Well, it follows the third part of our creator's own mind. There's seven different ways of using energy, but only the first three, some people call it ray one, ray two, ray three, only those first three actually have to do with our creator's own mind. And the third part is the part of our creator's mind that produces activity. It's the part of our universe that also creates all the energy in it. It's the part of our universe which causes interaction. These are great things. It sounds fantastic. It also, in human terms, creates civilization, which is another great thing. But the reason it's so hard to create human life that is focused along this, the third part of our creator's mind, is that it tends to fight against tends to fight against sometimes in humans only. The other two parts, can you imagine that? Human beings, when they become present on a planet, tend to think very much like they are energy or material form, and they tend to seek and hold on to energy and material form, and they forget about consciousness and love and inclusiveness, which is the second part of the Creator's mind, and they forget about freedom and purpose and creation, which is the first part of the Creator's mind. And the two of those together is really what we call godlike thinking or virtuous thinking, when it's along the thought of how the Creator creates. So it's like we are in a battle with ourselves. And that's the problem. As soon as human beings come on, boom, we're starting to fight ourselves and sometimes our Creator. That's what's wrong with planets that create along the third ray. They have this intrinsic conflict. Now, does that mean we're going to fail? Well, maybe. But I want to caution everybody who's listening to me that we all came here with this knowledge in hand. We're not here like some dummies. Yes, maybe us, the human being, is. A lot of you might be saying, well, I didn't know that before. I can't be held responsible. No, it isn't you as a personality, but your soul knew and chose to come here. And when you go back into that state where your consciousness grows itself back to being your soul, you're going to make the choice to come back again. I know you don't believe me. A lot of you say, oh, if I've got a choice to come back here, forget it. Where's that other planet that's so nice that you talked about in some other shows? I want to go here. Well, you have that choice. But I mean, I tell you right now, most of you, 99.99% of you, will be coming back. That's what we call reincarnation. But you'll be coming back with a somewhat different personality because each one grows and changes, and it's a creative act. You'll be involved in creating that personality, I promise you. Don't worry about it. It isn't like someone's going to stick you with something. Each of us are creating some of that even as we go back through the astral world or the mental world. I'll someday explain that to you in detail. But the point is that this is part of the plan. Part of the plan is freedom. It's our choice to be here. As souls, we want to be on this particular kind of planet. Does it suck? Oh, you better believe it. Is it one of the most difficult places? Not just because it's along the third ray, but because it's chosen as part of another part of the plan to deal with evil and to deal with mental evil, with a new kind of evil. We'll call it propaganda, spin, all this other crap. These kinds of evil are coming up now with us. They are right now with us contemporaneously with, say, the last three, four, five generations over time. This has been really developing, this type of evil. Now, it's been around, but it wasn't as commonplace as it is today. It's getting worse. All right, so we came here to overcome this kind of evil, among other things. I don't want you to think that it's like, oh, one thing we only have to do. No, we've got a lot of things to do, but we need to do that, and that's a big thing. We also have to overcome our tendency, urgency, almost, to have material outcomes in life and to hold on to energy. It's killing us. Literally killing us. And it's killing the planet now. The planet is going to be possibly in great jeopardy. Probably in great jeopardy. With just in a few years, because we have such a disregard for the other two parts of our Creator's mind itself, and literally because of our misuse of energy energies and our disregard for balancing that with love and with freedom. We have got to do in purpose, and we've got to do this very soon. We've got maybe 10 years, but I think in reality about 5. If we don't start making some changes very soon, we're going to suffer immensely. Who knows what's going to happen to life in this world? Okay, so the plan for our planet is based upon humanity at this point. When did that start? Well, I wrote in one book 1975, give or take. That's about when humanity became responsible for the world. A lot of you say, well, I never signed up for that. That's true. Not you as a personality. But we all signed up, and we're all part of this as souls. We're here to take responsibility for a world that we're, we haven't been responsible for forever, since we've been around. And we've been abusing. Now the abuses are adding up, and they're very dangerous, and it's a terrible thing. Hopefully, yeah, we're going to succeed. I'm in there with all of you to make you know, do the best we can. But this is part of the plan. Human beings eventually reach a point in every world where they have to be responsible for that world. Here it's a little more dicey because this is one of the most difficult places to deal with, and we have a lot of evil. It's just a terrible place. But, hey, just think if we succeed. Let's look at the bright side of things. Even if we don't succeed, we will have found some solutions for some things before things go really bad. Hopefully, we're not going to get there, though. I'm trying to stay optimistic on this thing. And over the next few months, by the way, I and the group, a spiritual group I'm a part of, we're working on trying to create a internet country. We're calling it the Internet Country of Good. Now, this isn't some of the goofy countries that people have started, like a country of how to basket weave or something. Now, this is a country that is going to attempt to try to resolve some of the problems in the world by helping other countries that are real countries, maybe a few other internet countries if they want to participate, to do the things that are so complicated and difficult to do by us finding solutions and trying to get others to try to use them now. But I'll go into more detail with that in the next few months. I just wanted to brighten your day, hopefully, by saying that we're trying to work on things. We've got an experimental farm, an experimental ranch. We're trying to change global warming and doing many other things there. If you want to know more about it, call us. Hey, we'll talk to you about it. You want to participate? Yes, come on. We'll all work together. But I'm trying to say that we are here as a plan. Human beings in general are here as a plan to become a co-creator with their creator. Unfortunately, we have to be kind of forced into this through crises that we unfortunately do create ourselves while we're in physical form, because we become illusioned, and we can't connect up enough with our soul to understand the whole plan, or even a small part of it. Many of us forget we're part of anything, and we become selfish, terribly greedy. Some of us become criminals. It goes on and on. Terrible things. I know. That's the point. Are we going to try to solve the problems for those people? Maybe. But you know what? The best way to solve what we've got going for right now isn't to worry about the most crazy of us, the ones that are in the most trouble, but for the ones of us who can make the choices today to live in ways that help support the responsible way of growing the Creator in this world as it is at the present time. Need to do that as soon as possible, if not sooner, because we are running out of time. And I would love to save everybody, but you know what? We may not be able to. Part of the plan also, in my opinion, now this is just my opinion, is that those that don't cut the mustard are probably not going to make it through the next 20 years or so, or less, because, unfortunately, they become more like the evolutionary side of life. Let me explain. Human beings are not here to be continually evolutionary, just the opposite. They are here to counter evolution and to become spiritual, meaning to use the thought of their creator in developing everything that exists on this planet from 1975 on. Yeah, that's what we're here for. I know it sounds impossible. How could we do that? Well, as impossible as it is, that's my understanding of what it's all about. Now, some of you might disagree. If you do, you can call me. You can email me when I'm off the air or whatever. I'm available for all of those things. Now, I wanted to mention, by the way, that if you'd like to hear more of me, I am available more. Yes. You can tune in on Sundays at, depends on where you're available, 5 o'clock Eastern time this time of year, or 2 o'clock if you're over in the Pacific time, and listen to an hour show on WDISAM.com if you want to listen to it on the Internet. Or, hey, you know what? You can also tune in if you're in the Boston area, anywhere around Boston. It's a very powerful station, I was told. So you can get it, you know, for dozens, tens of dozens of miles anywhere around the Boston area. Just tune in to WDISAM.com. You know, I don't know if I have the number, actually, to tune into, but I'll get that next week. But at any rate, you can look it up or find it on the AM dial. And that's at 5 p.m. Eastern time if you happen to be in that particular area at this time of year. So you can hear another show of mine. This week, let's see, they're doing something on the etheric and dense physical chakras. I'm going to be talking about that. That's on the 23rd of this coming Sunday. If you want to do that, you can. Of course, I will be here next week talking to you about another subject dealing with metaphysics and spirituality. But I do want you to realize, as I've said in today's show, that we are here as part of a great plan. Life is not an accident, and it isn't random. The evolutionists that believe that do not have that part of it right. Does evolution play a role? Absolutely. But so, most importantly, does God. And if you don't want to believe that, that's okay, but you look around and you think about the things that I've said, and you check out some of the stuff I said today, go back and listen to today's show again, and see about the facts. Use those to determine for yourself what is really truth and what isn't. And remember that if any of the things I said are true, they kind of blow away a lot of the complete, staunch beliefs that evolution and randomness in evolution is the way that life develops. It isn't that at all. There's nothing random about it. And now it's up to us to make the changes. So please, please, participate. This is going to be my big urgent call. It's time to do something, not just to sit and listen, or even to pray, which isn't that bad of a thing, or to have meditations on something. Those are okay, but this is an action universe. If we don't take action, the universe and the planet around us will be adversely affected. Well, until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is, and hopefully next week we'll have another very interesting subject that all of you will be listening to.
Don't we take our boat